The wolf is in you and me. The 20 million strong Restart Army has left 150,000 comments on social media pages in the last 4 days alone. 7,000 of them are under the BBC's page, and their only question is, "Sir, why don't you talk about this 20 million strong Restart Army?" He says you are not a news and people's network. I haven't said a word. Recently, they have been calling into live TV shows, telling them to talk about Restart. The people themselves have become smart. They want to see the Restart supporter who isn't there. This is just Restart Program 67. From Program 100 onwards, any religious army kid who leaves the house at 6 in the evening, his mom will tell him, "My son, don't go out, it's full of Restart supporters out there." The religious army mother from Program 100 will tell her child, "Don't go out, my son, it's full of Restart supporters out there." The religious army mother gonna say. Now you see, some people are understanding and downloading and then they go out. There's no problem with that. Now these antivirus effects of Restart that are coming, the courage that has been created in people, and soon all these jokes will be over, and for us, this 20 million strong army, you are all no different from each other. And the demands of the Restart kids are that they themselves, "Sir, are you our artist or not? It has nothing to do with me. I didn't say anything." The people themselves are going to the page of such and such artist and saying, "Sir, why don't you talk about Restart? Is it such small news that 20 million people are listening to a program? Is this a tiny piece of news? Mr. So-and-so from such and such network, please talk about us." And unfortunately, their silence has made the Restart supporters very angry. And now the Restart supporters are starting to understand why Hosseini was boycotted for 12 years and was a vagrant outside the country. And now they have understood that everyone joined hands so that Restart would not be promoted. And they knew that if the program had been broadcast 12 years ago, perhaps this Restart would have been a great shock. Whatever we may forsake, the words of the beloved are the most pleasant. All the particles of the universe in secret speak to you day and night. We are hearing, we are seeing, we are joyful. With you, the uninitiated, we are silent. First of all, the first line here is very interesting. It says, all the particles of the universe in the world, pay attention, this is a very important point. When you say all the particles of the universe in the world, it means outside of you. This creates a distinction between you and the world. Believe me, every single word from Attar, Rumi, Saadi, and Hafez, every word has multiple dimensions and is at the pinnacle of knowledge, stability, science, and thought. It says, all the particles of the universe in secret, meaning within their own secret, they speak to you day and night. This means these particles are also within you, not outside. They are not outside. They are within you. Oh, you who are the copy of the divine letter, when a doctor writes a prescription, he writes a formula, he writes a law. He says, oh, you who are the copy of the divine letter, and you who are the mirror of the kingly beauty, outside of you there is nothing that exists in the universe. Seek from yourself whatever you desire, for that is you. Rumi says, seek from yourself all the particles of the universe in secret, so it's clear the particles of the universe contain a secret. If I look now, my electron is revolving around the nucleus. My electron is circling the nucleus in devotion. It is everywhere around the nucleus. It is in love with the nucleus. It both obeys the nucleus and does not leave. It does not go out. It is well defined. Now, this electron around the nucleus, let's go down to the quark. My quark to my quark is telling me this sentence. It's a vast perspective. That's why in previous programs I spent an hour saying the entire universe is shaped like a human. I won't call it the perfect human. What does this mean? It means every being you see in the universe is you. Now, if you remove the distance between the electron and the nucleus of planet Earth, the entire planet becomes the size of a soccer ball. The solar system becomes a soccer field. The entire Milky Way galaxy becomes one of the cities in Iran. The entire universe becomes like planet Earth. This is just in the third heaven, the previous heaven. in the mother's womb, the fourth heaven is removed. The things you heard, if you had just thought about this, you could have very simply understood that all the clergy in the world are lying. Basically, when time does not exist, do you know what that means? It means when you say, the clouds, the wind, the moon, the sun, and the sky are all at work, so that you may earn a loaf of bread and not eat it in heedlessness. It means for this thing I'm talking nonsense about, the cloud, wind, sun, and sky. Time has been applied to them, and they are making this tree grow for me to eat. Its four seasons have already passed in the other world. When there is no time, what does it mean? It means there is no torturer, because the torturer, when I'm sitting there and God wants to punish me, has to stick a knife or a hot skewer, something, a rolling pin, into me. This has a distance, a time interval. It means he has to get up from somewhere and come and stick something in my throat so that I, for example, suffer. And this is also, it's all a joke. I will have a very strange density in the other world. When time is removed, the distance between my electron and nucleus completely disappears from me. I will have a very powerful magnetic field, meaning if I'm drinking tea now and my pleasure is, say, 5%, when you die, the pleasure of drinking your tea becomes 25 billion billion. You are everything. Your womanizing is the same. Drinking alcohol is the same. Right now, when you drink alcohol, you have to drink 2 glasses of water, otherwise you'll die. Afterwards, it collects water in the brain, then it releases its water. The brain goes bald. Now, if you are going to drink, drink 2 glasses of water too. At least you won't die. Look, Iranian, look, he's making a very important point. So the space of the other world is a space outside of time, like before the conception of the fetus, when the second Big Bang happens in the mother's womb. We are explaining all this so we know what is inside you and me. The wolf is in you and me. In the last program, I talked about sex. Look, no animal in the world raises its child to profit from it except for mankind. This idiot human is only concerned with raising his child so the child can get rich and give him money. In general, it's only humans who are after this, to raise their child and drive them crazy. All mothers-in-law are trying to screw over their daughters-in-law and vice versa, and everyone, and vice versa. Why? The reason is very simple. The reason is that he doesn't know this child no longer belongs to him. This sweat and that tear, I have no problem, I'm giving an example. This child does not belong to him. No animal raises its child for itself, it only raises it for the beautiful one. Meaning, its thinking is clear. Once its child is grown, it says, go, it has nothing to do with it anymore. We must learn this child rearing from animals. All the particles of the universe in secret speak to you day and night, meaning 24 hours a day. Time is explained beautifully in this. We are hearing, we are seeing, we are joyful. With you, the uninitiated, we are silent. This means we are the uninitiated. Graham Bell, why was the telephone invented in the first place? You can understand from the telephone. A telephone means you pick up the receiver, you call your mom. There's a distance. This telephone was invented so you would know that to hear the voice of Hosseini or your mother or anyone, you have to call. There must be a device for us to talk to each other. Then it's the exact opposite. This telephone literacy came to increase your knowledge, but it's been reversed. What does that mean? It means you go stand in front of a church. You don't have a cord for your telephone. The telephone basically means, sir, you are listening to this program right now. What does the internet mean? What does a mobile phone mean? What does a telephone mean? You are listening. Right now, if you turn off our app, you won't hear me anymore. So how do you want to communicate with God? With what device are you communicating? Who is supposed to give you this device? How is it that you go to kiss the feet of Graham Bell? You go to kiss the feet of others who facilitated these things? To reach God, something must be downloaded into you. That download is in the hands of the perfect human, meaning when you see him, he downloads something into you, and this download opens, you become online. The whole internet is in your hands. You connect to everywhere. That's why when you look at the secrets, you see him. That's why at all times happy are those who are perpetually in prayer. They are perpetually online. They are connected. It has been downloaded into them. It's that simple, that simple. It means knowledge can help you understand what the world after your death is like. So in the world of the mother's womb, you fully developed with things that you used in the next world outside of it. Right now, you are also fully developing some things that you will use after death, but you don't know what they are. You don't know now what you will need after death. You don't even know what God is like. How does God understand things? You don't even know what you can use to communicate with God. You don't know if you can FaceTime God. I don't know. Is God on Skype? Is he on the phone? You don't know. We just have to sit blindly and pray, prostrate, go up and down, thinking a connection has been made. Then I keep saying, oh, dear listener, if you turn off the app, you won't hear my voice. You laugh. Dude, your app is completely off. You went into that mosque. This pulpit, I am saying something about this pulpit. I'll talk about the pulpit now. The pulpit was built by Salman Farsi, one of the greatest Sufis. The pulpit, if you don't know, what is the pulpit, you will think is a tree, or what is it? I'm not concerned with its interpretations. In the Prophet's mosque, when Muhammad ibn Abdullah wanted to speak, he would lean on this tree and stand. The poor guy would talk for 2 hours, make it so you can sit on it a little higher than the people so they can see you. The point is very interesting and simple. So what happened? It means the pulpit belongs to Salman the Persian. An Iranian came and explained, now who is Salman the Persian? What is he? His poems are given later. Salman the Persian is the only person who understood, despite being a Zoroastrian, one of the great Zoroastrians. The great Zoroastrians were searching for the perfect human to find him, and for this reason, he wandered aimlessly. That's why he was there. So now, the very important questions that they don't answer. How did Muhammad speak Farsi with him? Out of love for him, he doesn't ask how, for example, people like Ali ibn Abi Talib or Ilya ibn Imran, how did we speak with them? No, I spoke with them comfortably. How did I speak? Well, these questions, out of love, these questions are not important to me. Let me give an example. Whether someone is Iranian, Japanese, let's say the perfect human is Japanese. By logic, we are all Japanese. It doesn't matter where the child is from. The important thing is that he belongs to the whole original world. This is his value. Now, you've set up a pulpit. He goes, you sit at his feet. Who is connecting you? How? How are you speaking to God? How are you establishing a connection? This is the important question. And until you are connected, until it's downloaded, you cannot speak, you cannot listen. It's that simple. So from a simple telephone, you can understand where the universe came from. What was the purpose of your coming? You can understand it perfectly. Very simple. We also explained the symbol of animals and creatures we explained the dog. The conclusion I drew about the dog was that the 7 billion people of the world are more impure than a dog. Why? Because we lack one of the dog's qualities. Now, in Sufism, the dog is impure relative to the Sufi. The interpretation of impurity isn't about whether you drink its water or not. If you shoot a partridge, as you've read in your own Quran, if you shoot a partridge with an arrow, a hunting dog goes, catches the prey with its mouth, and brings it back. You can eat it. So the saliva of its mouth is fit for consumption. This animal is gone. So it's not related to the dog's saliva. These are jokes and gags where they steal the words of the people of Sufism and explain them without making them understood. So when you sit below the pulpit, you are not connected. When you stand facing the Qibla, you are not connected. You are not connected. Dear listener, until you are connected, you won't understand anything. The creatures are also within you. All of them are within you. The wolf. Easy? Sorry, where were we? The wolf. We are wolves. All 7 billion people on planet Earth have a wolf inside them and are wolves. They just don't understand they are wolves. We are bloodthirsty, as we all drink blood in our mother's womb. But we are wolves. Why are we wolves? Easy. A wolf attacks a flock. If there are 100 sheep, it kills 499, all of them, and eats one. You are the same. You have 10 houses. You sleep in one. At a party. You are exactly a wolf, and you don't realize it. You have $500 million in your bank account. You have $50,000. You only need to spend 500 tomans to eat. You are a wolf. You are also hoarding. You have eaten all these creatures. Right now you have 20 kilos of sugar at home, when in reality you will only eat a little bit of sugar tonight. You have 26 eggs in your fridge, when today, tomorrow, and next week you'll only eat 4 of them. You are that same wolf, and you don't realize it. That's why. Abu Dhar only kept food for one day. Salman kept his food for 3 days, meaning for the next 3 days he was assured he had food. Abu Dhar was only assured he had food for one day. Just 3 days. You haven't understood the concept of the wolf. You've seized power. You only sleep in one place, in a 2x4. No, you don't want much with girls and such, and I don't know what you do. I doubt you pray unless you are forced to with your bodyguard, so you have to fool them. We should pray with the bodyguard. You sleep in one place. You are a wolf who has power, has money, has status. And now, to destroy Restart, he has to write lies about Hosseini in magazines. This is the wolf. He has launched 5,000 websites and only praises himself. This is the wolf. He's even put his picture up on top of all the cities. So he has money, power, position, status, and still, you lie. This is what they call a wolf. A wolf means he knows that in the end, he'll eat 2 sultani kebabs with some sushi on top and drink some alcohol, a maximum of $320. And for the good alcohol, he have to go to the Herman neighborhood. We were the son of a bitch kids. He has to go there and drink. And the total of what this ruler eats is not even $1,000, yet he has several billion dollars in his account. This Russian spy, this English spy. Now, whoever it is in our country, I don't have things. I am always in a state of prayer. I have seen that I am mostly in prostration. Well, he's a wolf, sir, a wolf. Why don't you listen? You yourself are a wolf, you don't realize it. We must understand the wolf from within the wolf system. When we understand the wolf well, we understand everything. If we are to understand something, I'll say one or two things for us to understand. Shibli understood God by picking his nose. See, any simple thing around you, if you are in the forbidden cave and want to find the beautiful, perfect human, you will find him. Why? Because love came. Shibli's uncle, Baba Shina, and Grandpa Shina were from Khorasan. His dad was in Damavand, and he himself was the governor of Damavand, a pure Iranian from Damavand. Now, Shibli himself was born in Samara on the other side. I don't know a very important point. Mr. Shibli was the leader of something. Iran requested that you grace us with your presence. They went there with great respect for Shibli, one of the great Sufis. He 150,000 coins of dirham, I don't know what, dinar. He had inherited this from his father, meaning in today's money, for example, 400 billion tomans, he gave it all away. Many considered him crazy. I want to say that from a simple matter, a person can understand whatever he wants. Understand. They invited him, showed him great respect, and now I don't know where they wanted to make him governor. There was a type of robe in those days that they gave to ministers. The ministers would wear these robes and come out with them, and people would understand that this is a minister, an important person, for instance. This Shibli, with 2 or 3 of these kids who were in the government system, the intelligence ministry guys, whoever they were, or spies, whatever they were, when he took this robe from him and wore it, he came out and suddenly felt a sneeze. He sneezed with his hand. He wiped his nose with this robe a little bit. A little bit of water came out. He wiped it. Immediately they informed the king that, Your Majesty, the robe that you gave him, Your Majesty, Shibli wiped his nose with the robe you had gifted him. Within 24 hours, the king took the robe from him. He was dismissed from the government. Shibli, the same one who was close friends with Halaj, and to make people understand, they would play political intellectual games together, which many called madness. Shibli, the same one who jokingly threw a flower at Halaj. Halaj cried out. They asked why. He said, Shibli knew me. Why did he throw a flower? Because they were accepted, you must throw it and pass by. Now, some also say, he threw a flower and said, he who knows me should not have thrown it. This is also a joke for them to understand, everyone to Shibli. He came out, it was written in his memoirs, he came out and said, we wiped our nose with the king's robe. He also, I had no intention. He took my robe from me, he took the government. Wow, oh my God, this inherent filth of mine, what will become of it in the other world? This robe that the beautiful one gave me, what should we do? From this nose-picking, he understood that the whole spirit is up in the air. Then he went to Junaid and Abul Hasan and entered mysticism and Sufism. We are saying all of this so that you know that every single creature in the universe can be an indicator for you to reach what you must reach from your position. The mosquito in you is you, the dog in you is you, the donkey in you is you. All of these are within me so that I may be victorious. When I kill these 700 heads of my ego, meaning my wolf must be killed. My wolf attacks the flock, that poem means this. It means Hosseini's inner wolf must be killed. Your inner wolf must be killed. There is a wolf outside that if you respect it too, the perfect human's Yahoo messenger gets a nudge. They say, that person respected our wolf. What does this mean? It's like Sheikh Karkan, whose story I told briefly. I'll bring some of us back, so that you and I can understand the subject with respect, because these words are not mine, they belong to Sufism. They are hundreds of thousands of years old, thousands of years old, and the writings that exist now are thousands of years old, which we are expressing. I'm not saying anything of my own. Its perspective is written in the Tadhkirat al-Awliya of Attar. Shibli's titles are known. They give a title, Shibli, like someone who recites Sheikh Ajal's poetry and doesn't even know that Sheikh Ajal is a title, doesn't know who gave him this title. Now, all these creatures are in the perfect human, so he is the perfect human. Whatever exists in the universe is within him, and wherever you strike, whoever you show kindness to, he becomes happy. They asked Sheikh Karkan, how did you reach this station? He said, one day as I was going to the bathhouse, I saw a dog in the middle of the road that other dogs had attacked. I put down my stuff, saved the dog, and gave it food and water. That night I slept. He came in my dream. That beautiful one said, you showed mercy to our dog. I will make it so your name remains forever. This is how you get on our good side, meaning because of a dog, Sheikh Karkan. Now some attribute this to Bayazid Bastami. Never mind. The name is not important. The Sufi is important. From a dog, he reached a greater Sufism. He became this Sufi of history, a dog. When you come out of your house, look who you are cursing at. Who are you fighting with? Who are you insulting? Besides yourself, what other things do you think about within yourself? And many other things that exist within it. He says it belongs to Bayezid. He has a story. It's very interesting. He says that one day Bayezid, now it might not be Bayezid, he says Bayezid was sitting with his disciples and turned to one of them. The disciples, he said, sir, a man is coming from over there dragging two dogs. Tell him to come. Every story in the Tadhkirat al-Awliya, or in books, even in Jami, which is just like Tadhkirat al-Awliya, its stories have meaning. He says, go bring him. A man is passing by, and he is dragging two dogs with him. Bring him, let him sit at our table. They went and saw a person came, forcibly dragging two dogs. They brought him, he sat, they ate. One of the disciples, when he left, turned to Bayezid and said, Bayezid said, what is it? He said, forgive me, your holiness. For years they say this dog is such and such, this and that. It eats at our table with all of us. Don't you think this is bad? He said, there is a difference between the dog pulling you and you pulling the dog. He said, Fabe, for the people of the world, the dog pulls them. The dogs know in front of them, the rope is in their hands, the leash is in their hands, the dog goes forward and they follow behind it. The difference is that this man was Hasan ibn Mansur Halaj. This was Halaj. He is pulling the dogs. He is pulling the dog of his inner ego, nafs, meaning within himself he is a captive of himself, which they say is the devil, shaitan. The devil is in you. Right now you also use a term called Iblis. Iblis has children. When is his child born? The jokes you make are this. The child is born when you are born. It comes with you. The child needs time. It must have time. So when your fetus is conceived in your mother's womb, the devil, this bald devil and the subordinate of that Iblis, is born with you. When you die, you die. The devil dies. The one that doesn't die is Iblis. Do we understand the matter now? It's different. Iblis doesn't die. Why? Because Iblis must send devils to the next children again. This devil is not sent. It's within you. This whole apparatus is like Azrael, which I also explained in the previous program. So Azrael is within you. He's just been told, sir, at exactly 12:16, a truck will run him over. You won't get high pressure. Even if a truck hits you 50 times, you won't get high pressure at that moment. You get turned off. You will died. It's a computer. And peace be upon you. Wassalamu alaikum. The body exits and then you go into the liminal body. Ah, so we also have a liminal body on the other side. Bravo. So this body of mine is composed of electron, nucleus, nucleus, nucleus. What is on the other side? Without electron, nucleus, what is its name? They call it the liminal body. There. What is this body made of? This body has no air. This body has no time. No time. Suddenly, as we said, you pick an apple. The next apple appears on it, meaning if we remove time, no tree will remain without an apple. The same moment you pick the apple, the next apple grows on it in less than a billionth of a second. Its name is the liminal body. The liminal body on the other side is something else. It's the product of something else, a different thought. In that liminal body, its nourishment is thought, its food is thought. Look, right now, why does your neighbor make $150,000 a month and you make $2,000? Because he has thought. He has gone, for example, he's working in IT. In such and such organization, he is getting money from thought, not from himself. All people, for $100, they can go and shovel, for instance, when with thought, even right now in this world, so you are eating with thought. So why has so-and-so ended up at NASA? Because he is getting paid for his thoughts. In this world, he's getting paid for his thoughts. In the other world, there's no money for position and status and such. You only eat thought. The credit card of thought is swiped, intellect is swiped. There, you can't say a word about anyone else. It's all about this thought and idea. Because you sent the thought, it came, the thought in that being called. It has a very powerful magnetic field, meaning the liminal body has two beings. Then what happens? Then Rumi says, we die again from the liminal body. Ah, so we also have a hellish body later. I don't know, really, after program 100. Ah, so we also have a heavenly body? We don't know. Why don't we know? Because when a baby is born, it doesn't die in the mother's womb. It is born alive. It is alive. The mother doesn't die either. The baby in her womb is alive. When it dies, it is alive. So the perfect human is alive. Let me summarize today's conclusion. A lot of books are in you, and you must kill everything of yourself. Kill your wolf. Do all your tasks. In this world, when you die, humans are divided into two groups. For death, those who die, they are screwed. And those who do not die, those who die, they are screwed. And those who do not die, and those who themselves decide whether to die or not. Sir, can you explain it? Let's explain a little. Until the next program. Meaning when you see the perfect human, he downloads something into you so that at the moment of death, you have to give permission to die or not. The rest of these idiots bang their heads against the wall and die. He kills them. He himself decides whether to go or not. What was downloaded so that the interval between the virtual world now and the real world after death is your choice? These are very important questions when he says, I have died and been revived several thousand times. People, Rumi is not lying. He says, I died, meaning the doctors come over me and say, he is dead, this person is dead, and he is revived again. This is the practice you must do when the perfect human, when you see him, when you see that beautiful one, he gives you things so that before you die from a beating, you die with your own permission, you go, you see, you come back, you become alive, you say to your wife, my wife, and life begins. These are many, many formulas that the universe must know, like promote to that beautiful one who doesn't die, my dear, never dies, is always awake, the beautiful one. His body sleeps, but he himself does not sleep. Why? Because happy are those who are perpetually in prayer. He is just beautiful. Among Sufis, many of them, one or two, appear every 100 years who do not sleep. They sleep, but they do not sleep. They die, but they do not die. They don't die, but they don't die. Let alone the perfect human. Why? Because every breath that is inhaled is an extension of life, and when it is exhaled, it is an exhilaration for the essence. That's why all humans, when they sleep, they do not die. They breathe. As long as that breath is there, it's that beautiful one. The great Saadi says it, and Hafez says the same, and Rumi says it reaches that beautiful one who never dies and is alive. He has opened his arms for you and me to take refuge in him, but our attention is elsewhere. Farewell.